So I got a message yesterday on Instagram from someone saying, asking about this whole earthing your PVC pipe when you're putting a dust collection system. And I kind of said, I'm pretty sure that's a myth, because I saw a video that John McGrath did a while back. He's an electrician, but he's also a sort of hobbyist woodworker. Well, hobbyist is kind of doing him a disservice, because he does some great work. But yeah, he's got a YouTube channel all about woodworking, but because he's an electrician, he also did a video about this myth. You absolutely do not need to earth your dust extraction pipe. So I sent him a link to that video, this guy that wrote to me on Instagram, and he responded saying, oh, that's another thing that Axminster have wrongly sold me then. So I Googled Axminster grounding. They sell a kit for grounding PVC pipe.
Oh, really?
So if grounding your dust extraction system is a myth, why are they selling a kit for £41 to earth your system? I don't get that.
I'm sure I read that it's not... Like, if you're in a flour factory that has masses of stuff over long distances, that maybe they do earth it, because flour can explode and things. But I think in small scale... Because I remember when I first started using Axminster, they had three ranges. I forgot what they called it. They had the hobby. I think it was hobby tools. Then they had the trade tools. Because is yours still branded trade, your table saw?
Yes.
Yeah, because I think now it's professional. They keep changing it.
Yeah.
But they had an industrial range, which they've got rid of now. And they had a whole service on their website where they'd, if you're setting up a woodworking kind of processing factory, they'd come and assess it and go, you need this and this and big. So they may do all that. Maybe they've just gone for a different website because it doesn't fit with the other things. But maybe if you're setting up a big factory with staff, you would ground it all. I don't know.
I saw it and it just kind of didn't sit right with me, but it says there is a fire or explosion hazard if your dust collection system is not properly grounded. This kit contains 12 meters of copper wire and the adapters to ground your system.
Have you even had a static shock off your dust system?
No, I've had dust stick to the pipes. Yeah. Because obviously it gets static and the dust kind of sticks to it. Just wipe them down every now and again. Never had a shock.
It's a tricky one, and I think you did that well, sending a link, like, because I don't want to give advice on something and then someone's workshop blows up because exactly. I said it was a myth.
Yeah.
It's a bit like the oily rag thing, isn't it? I'm super safe with the oily rags.
Me too, yeah. I've got a tin full of water that I put them in, a metal tin. Yeah. That is a genuine risk, isn't it?
But it's a genuine
whereas I thought the static thing was a bit, I don't know.
The oily rag can spontaneously combust. What about the thing I've just oiled? If the oil is still, like, overnight, is still wet, isn't it? My bit of wood.
I don't know, because isn't it something to do with the crumpled up cloth as well?
Is it?
I think it's something to do with the surface area. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Us two just talking about stuff we know nothing about.
Because and I don't need that other bit of anxiety that I lay in bed, like, is my workshop going to burn down because I've oiled my bit of wood? I used to use my wood burner, not when it was on, just as a metal box. Because, like, if it went up in a wood burner, it's like, oh, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've got one outside at the moment. I've just thrown it out into the rain.
Yeah.
Because I was going away and I didn't want to leave it around anywhere. But, yeah, no, that's the trouble with oil-based finishes, isn't it? That's the one thing you got to think about. Oh, so that's interesting. Yeah, I've never grounded my system and I don't know anyone that has. And I don't know anyone that's workshops burnt down because of it. But it'd also be hard to know that that was the cause, wouldn't it? Unless you were in there and saw it do it.
Yeah.
Because I guess it would only do it when you were running your system as well, I would have thought.
I don't know.
It's not like the oily rags that could do it in the middle of the night.
I'll leave a link to the John McGrath video in the show notes, and then people who know about this stuff can enlighten us further.
Yeah. I've also seen people do it that they run the copper pipe around everything.
Yeah.
And it's strange because you think, I don't know nothing about this, you'd just be able to ground one piece of it.
Yeah.
And that would be it grounded.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
Because doing that would be achingly easy. It's just when you start wrapping copper around everything. And it looks so awful as well.
It does, yeah.
And then it's harder to clean.
Unless you run it down the inside of the pipe, which I think I've seen somebody do on YouTube. But it's always struck me as just being an absolute waste of time. But I don't know.
So I was going to ask, your advice. Probably this is something I've been wanting to do for years. My sharpening setup is I have a diamond plate.
Yeah.
I really like them, but it's time consuming. And I'm like, I want a assist electric system.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was silver light. Yeah, one of those £30 grinders that was just awful. And they're so coarse. Bench grinder. And obviously it gets the metal hot. You've got to be really careful.
Yeah.
And so there's two things I've looked at. It's like the Axminster system that uses the abrasive belts.
Yep.
And they look really quick to swap out the grits, which I like. And you can use all the accessories that work with the other systems, like the Tormac. And it's useful for other things, like when I've just made that ruler thing stop, the brass pins protrude. Well, I could use the abrasive belt to sand those flush. That'd be really handy. But then, I mean, the Tormacs are super expensive. I imagine they're extremely quiet. This low spinning wheel in a water bath looks almost therapeutic.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
And obviously I've got the kitchen knives as well. Being able to sharpen everything. I guess what I really want is both things. I want a belt grinder for sanding and doing metal. But maybe the Waterstone is great for sharpening.
And there's also the CMT option as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
Is it CMT? Am I getting that wrong?
No, it's the diamond wheels for a grinder.
Yeah. Hang on a minute, though. Isn't CMT the company that makes the grooving blades?
CDM? What's... it's definitely got C in. Everyone's shouting at us now.
Right, CMT is the brand that makes the blades.
The flat tooth blades that we always use.
So what are the wheels called?
CBN.
CBN.
We're professionals.
CBN. So there's that option as well that could go in a bench grinder. And you could have one of the bench grinder and belt combinations. Yes.
I guess with the CBN... Oh, I've lost it already.
CBN. It was CBN, I think.
CBN, yeah. Is you've got to pick a grit, haven't you? So
yes.
I've got some... I like going to the car boot sales and buying old rusty tools. So with those, you almost need to start at... Like when there's a huge chip or... weird angles that people have put on them.
Yeah.
See, so you need something super aggressive.
Yeah.
And then you need you need something in between, really, and a finishing one. So you kind of need three. And that's why I like the belts. As you swap those out, like, I think there's a lever, you pull it down, pull the belt out. And if you're doing a batch, you do everything, obviously, on the aggressive. As I think the whetstones, you have to resurface the wheel, don't you, to change the... which I never get my head around.
This is what I was going to say. The grinding stone that I bought is like a blue something or other type of stone. It's pretty coarse. It's like 80 grit.
Mm.
I say it's pretty coarse. I use it for my turning chisels and they cut as clean as anything. So it can't be that coarse. But it's coarse enough to regrind an edge on a dinged chisel pretty quickly. The thing that I hate about it is the amount of dust it kicks up.
Yeah.
And it's that really fine, horrible dust that you don't want in your lungs. So I'm not a fan of it. And I was actually thinking of along a similar lines of getting one of these CBN wheels. Because I think if I got like a 120, 150 grit CBN wheel, my turning chisels would be even sharper because it's a, you know, higher polished surface. And I think you could get away with regrinding chisels on it as well.
That's true.
It'd take a bit more time, obviously, but...
If you strop as well afterwards, I think that does a lot of finessing.
Definitely.
I think with the Axminster belt one, it has I think they call them mops on the side. So like a soft thing that you put the polishing compound on. So it's like a strop.
I love those things, yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of has the best of both worlds because you can grind and then you can strop it almost, but electrically. So CBN... Would that not create dust, do you think? Why would that not?
No.
Why is that?
Because I think it's basically a diamond stone. I suppose some dust from the actual metal, the steel, and the chisels would come off.
Oh, you're saying the stone creates dust at the moment. Right.
It's the stone that creates... Because you just get blue dust everywhere.
Ah, I didn't realise that.
And you can
that.
Smell it as well. It's horrible.
Right.
Yeah, it's not pleasant.
Yeah, so you still get the metal dust because you're removing metal.
Yeah, but I don't think that's like an airborne dust. I think metal dust just seems to... Again, I'm talking about something I know nothing about.
Yeah. Well, maybe if I wait long enough, you'll just get one, and then I can you can report back. As at the whetstone, obviously there's going to be no dust because the water's going to capture everything on the spinning one. And the belt ones have dust pools.
Yes.
So I'd perhaps maybe need a separate dust extractor that because you maybe don't want hot bits of metal going into your wood chips.
True. Well, my belt sander that's combined with my grinder doesn't have a dust port.
Yeah.
But to be honest, it's just a... It was £40 on Amazon. I bought it.
Yeah.
Like, probably 10 years ago now.
Can you imagine what it is now? I bet it's £200 now.
I looked at it recently and it is surprisingly expensive compared to what I paid. Let's have a look at how much it is just out of curiosity. See if I can find the exact same one. £107, £114. So yeah, it's more than doubled in price.
Mm. But being able to sand some metal back, I bet that's great for doing some rough work.
Well, see, now you mentioned this, did you call it a mop thing? The soft?
Yes.
See, I really want one of those as well for things like polishing up brass and stuff like that. Because I'm often like using salvaged brass hinges and stuff.
Yeah.
And I use one of those polishing wheels on a drill.
Mm.
And I spin it and then I add some of green polishing compound and then I can polish it on that. But it's a bit clunky. And also you get all of this green stuff on your polishing wheel and then you have to wash it each time you use it, which is a pain.
Yeah.
I would
quite like one that had a mop on one side and maybe a brass wheel on the other. A wire wheel,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you can do... Because you can definitely put wire wheels on grinders. I don't know if you can put them on the mop thing because they're basically the same thing.
They worry me a bit because obviously they're spinning at such high velocity and I just imagine bits of wire coming off them, but I don't know.
Definitely with the cheap ones because you always see the... Almost they sell them in pound shops and car boot sales.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the better quality ones, it doesn't. But I always wear eye protection and things when I'm ever doing it.
Mm.
But yeah, they're not expensive. I've just sent you a Record Power one, but Axe Mr. Durham and all the other brands. But yeah, no, it would be useful to have... But it's just so much equipment, isn't it? When you've got a bigger workshop than me. But because I think really I would like a belt grinder that I can grind metal back because I would use that. Mm. I would use more metal if I had something to grind metal back.
Yeah.
Rather than just using a sander or an angle grinder. I would like a whetstone sharpener just for the finessing of being able to sharpen kitchen knives and chisels, the really fine...
And you want a wet wheel just for that soothing sound.
Yeah. But I'd almost set it up in the kitchen and do it because it's not a dirty thing.
No, that's true. Yeah.
And I want a polishing thing. So I just want these three machines. Well, you almost go, well, I just need a shed to just do that. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I spent last year pretty much downsizing and getting rid of tools that I don't use regularly. And now here I am looking at them again.
Yeah.
Fantasizing about having them.
I'm downsizing as well. I've just had a rearrange in the workshop to try and get more space because I've moved the mitosaur back in. It's a vicious circle, this woodworking.
Yeah.
Hello, Matt here. It takes us quite a lot of time to prepare and produce each episode of this podcast and we'd like to keep putting it out for free. If you enjoy the podcast and you'd like to help, support and shape future episodes, you can find a link to our Patreon page in the show notes or just search online for Workshop Banter Patreon. Thank you, and now back to the podcast.
I saw your video on wood finishes, very excited. And then when I was watching it, I thought, so you're using a lot of this beeswax polish stuff.
Mm.
And I wondered if you'd considered making your own.
Yeah, what I'd like to make is one of these wood butters.
Yeah.
I've never tried the, is it Odie's oil?
Yeah.
It's super expensive, but it just looks... You've got some, haven't you?
I've got a jar that was sent to me a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I think I used some to put on some coasters and then it's sat in the cupboard ever since.
It looks satisfying though, that kind of consistency.
It smells lovely as well.
Yeah. Because you enjoy finishing, I hate finishing. So something I can just smear out of a tin is just my dream finish.
But the stuff that you've been using in like a 500ml bottle, I'm assuming that's just literally mostly oil with a bit of wax in.
I would imagine, but it doesn't ever separate or anything. It's weird, isn't it? Because if it was food, it would have to have the ingredients, as I'm not sure would finish. I don't have one in here. Next time I go in the workshop, I'm going to read it. But yeah, it says it's all natural. So, like, I wouldn't drink it, but I don't imagine it would do you any harm, some wax and some natural oils.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm ashamed you've watched that video because you're the expert, and mine was mainly like, I am so lazy, these are my journey into finding the easiest to apply finish.
I don't know why I am so interested in it.
Mm. Yeah. And I've seen that in a lot of videos, though. People go, this is my favourite part. I mean, it does make a... Especially when you've got something like a sapele or a walnut and you add the finish and the colour just changes so much and just... It's almost a bit matte and blur when it's natural wood, but then you put something... Well, even if you just put water on it, it just looks fantastic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I do get that, and I do enjoy like seeing it change. And you can see the grain and the things so much more when you've put it on. But then there's other things. Like I videoed yesterday, like I made a box out of some old pine bed slats. So it's some horrible wood and... Like, oh, it's also blonde. Like, if I put an oil finish on that, it would just look like some yellow wood. Yeah. So I had to stain it. Like, that's the trouble when you use these kind of materials. You've got to do something, haven't you? But something like a walnut, I like an oil finish because I think it looks lovely.
Was that the box for the bottle of wine?
Or a different project? No, that one. The neighbour just gave me, he was clearing out the garage, like, do you want these bed slats? Like, yeah, yes, I do.
He was probably asking you to build the fence out of them.
This is a different neighbour. The trouble is, there's so many of my neighbours I've made things for now or fixed things.
Yeah.
They see you over there, oh, I've got this jewellery box or I need this thing. But I kind of, in a way, I like it because it's nice to keep good terms with your neighbours.
Shall we move on to recommendations?
So I've been watching Darbin... Orva, I don't know if that's, I pronounced her name correctly. She hadn't done woodworking for a while, but I always used to like her videos back in the day, but she was making a stand for a lathe the other day, and it's nice to see her back doing some woodworking.
Yeah.
For these lamps I want to make, a lathe would be, I've been coming up with ideas how I can make circles on the bandsaw, but a lathe would be better, but it's just having the space for one, because I know you've downsized your lathe.
It's easy to think, I want to turn all of these long things when you first get a lathe, but it's just, there's no need.
It's not length I want, because I probably only want them to be 300-400 long.
Yeah.
It's, I probably want them to be 8 inches diameter.
Yeah.
I probably want to buy an 8x8 beam, oak beam.
Yeah.
So it's not just the diameter, it's the weight, isn't it? If it's a, so what's, 8x8,
210
by 400 long. That's like to pick that bit of oak up would be heavy.
Yeah.
And would one of the smaller lathes have the guts to do it?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever mounted anything so heavy.
No, like the spec of the lathe says it can take that, but no one's actually putting something.
It's getting it spinning, isn't it? That might be the issue. Well, I don't know.
I watch these guys that make big sculptural pieces and they have one of these Wadkin lathes that is massive and they churn some huge things and they literally spin it by hand.
To get it going.
To get it going.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in no rush. Probably what I need to do is go to one of these woodworking shows and actually start talking to the stands.
So I'm going to call out a video that's 3 months ago now, so we're going back quite a bit. But obviously Jimmy DiResta, huge name on YouTube. I used to watch all of his stuff. His later videos haven't been as appealing to me. But then he started rebuilding a barn or an old house. And then I got really into it again. But then he did a video called Brass Cast Evil Door Knocker, which is like a brass skull.
Oh, I've not seen that one.
Wow. It was so impressive. Mm. It just looks incredible. I'll send you a link.
Because I've seen some of the barn stuff, because it fascinates me, like the foundations, like, oh, it's just on this big rock or something.
Yeah, but I think he's got a whole team around him that can help him now, so...
And he's got his own graveyard now, which everyone needs.
And another barn down the road, I think, as well, which is full of stuff. I don't know, it just makes me want to take on a massive project like that.
I would happily help you on a big project, but I would never want to do, I don't want it myself. The stress.
Yeah.
Like, I'm stressed about my roof. Or, yeah, exactly. When it's someone else's, I enjoy the work.
Yeah.
I just don't want it to be my project.
Your problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Thank you for listening. You can find Keith on YouTube by searching for Rag N Bone Brown and me by searching for Badger Workshop. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to help support us in making future episodes of the podcast. Link to that in the show notes. And we have a Workshop Banter Instagram and Facebook page if you'd like to get in touch, which is @workshopbanter, all one word.